Here is our host and Bible teacher, Harold Camping.
We're continuing with the Open Forum program, and shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, Brother Camping, how are you doing this evening?
Very well, thank you.
My question is, can God save an entire household, like a mother and a father and children?
Can he do that? Of course he can. That's God, there's no limitation, but will he? That's another problem. We don't know what God's eternal plan is, because he named all those that he planned, and actually made payment for their sins before he ever created the world. And he doesn't tell us at all whether we're one of God's elect until after we're saved. If we truly become saved, then we know that the reason we became saved is not because of anything we have done, but because already before the foundation of the world, he had already made provision for our salvation. So,
thank you, Brother Campion. I appreciate that.
Thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, yes. Can you please read Job chapter 21, verses 28 to 32?
Job 21, verse 28 to 22. Let's look at that. Job 21, verse 28. We read, "For ye say, where is the house of the prince, and where are the dwelling places of the wicked? Have ye not asked them that go by the way, and do ye not know their tokens, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction? They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face? Who shall repay him for what he has done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb." Now, what is your question?
Yes, a remain means to be alert and to be on the lookout for good and evil. But if the body and soul are dead, then how can they be on the lookout?
How can a dead body be on the look? I'm sorry, what verse are you referring to?
Verse 32.
Ye shall be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him, and so on. Now, the fact is that when we die, and if we die unsaved, we're never going to have conscious existence again. We're going to go to the grave and be there. We will remain in the tomb. However, this verse has to be read in the light of everything in the Bible. And while we remain in the tomb until the day of judgment, but at the day of judgment, the unsaved body or the unsaved bones or whatever remains of that individual will be thrown out of the tomb for a final shame in the eyes of God. It doesn't mean that they'll come to life at all. No, not at all. They're dead. When they died soul and body and will never, never again have conscious existence. But God has a plan that in the day of judgment, as a final shame being put on mankind, he's going to desecrate whatever bodies still remain. They'll be thrown out when that great earthquake comes to any city or any area or any part of the world. It's going to throw open the graves, and the remains of those who are still there will be thrown out and desecrated, ashamed in the eyes of God, because it's emphasizing, as we read in a couple of passages, like, for example, let me see if I can find a verse that relates to that.
Okay, because in the concordance, I looked up remain, and it says to be alert and on the lookout.
Well, the concordance doesn't have, when it says, whatever the concordance says, we have to read, the concordance doesn't get you into all the other verses. We have to read this in the light of the whole Bible. And we read in Luke chapter 9, for example, is it Luke chapter 9, Right. We read in verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words." Now, that's talking about every person that is unsaved. They want to go their own way. They don't want to listen that carefully to the word of God. They are ashamed. They are shaming God as they turn the laws of God around to serve themselves. And so for God says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory, and his Father's, and of the holy angels." And that is during the day of judgment that we're just getting to. And so all of the remains that are still there in the tombs, the corpses or the bones, whatever, will be thrown out and desecrated in the eyes of God and shamed in the eyes of God, although the individuals themselves will not come to conscious existence. That conscious existence is ended at the moment that they died. The wages of sin is death. And when a person is dead as an unsaved person, he will never come to life again. But he will be resurrected in that his remains, whatever there is, will be thrown out to be shamed in the eyes of God. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum. Welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Brother Camping.
Yes.
I would like you to look at Psalm chapter 59.
Psalm 59. Let's look at that. Psalm 59. We read in what verse?
And I have verses 5 and 6, and then verses 13 and 14, if you could read those for me.
Thou, therefore, O Jehovah God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Then in verse 13, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. Let them know that God visiteth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Now, what is your question?
My question is, Brother Camping, is this also signifying that possibly judgment starts at evening or at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, as you stated before?
Well, it could suggest that. It's not clearly indicating that, though, however. Evening can be understood spiritually. Evening
okay.
has to do with the beginning of night, and night has to do when there is no gospel anymore. So we can't tell from this verse whether it's talking about a spiritual evening or whether it's talking about a literal evening. But there is quite a bit of evidence in the Bible that Judgment Day will begin in any place in the world at even, which the Bible identifies with 6 p.m., about 6 p.m. Standard time.
But okay, well, thank you very much, Brother Camping, for answering my question.
Thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hi, Mr. Camping. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I'd like to say thank you for your commitment and conviction with everything that you're doing. I want to say that I completely agree with you, and I'd like to bring some information to both you and your listeners, which I'm sure everybody will find interesting and valuable. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 12, it basically states that when Jesus returns, there's going to be something about his name that only he is aware of. And then the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 4, it basically states that when he reveals himself to everybody, his name will be known by society already. Now, society is already familiar with the name Dan Brown. Dan Brown became extremely famous for writing an extremely controversial book about Jesus in the book The Da Vinci Code. There's another Dan Brown who just recently came out of the woodwork. He's made the claim that he is Jesus. Now, nobody in society can deny knowledge of this name. This is just the beginning. I don't know if you're familiar with St. Malachi's prophecy or not.
But what is your question?
If you just permit me just another moment, sir, for the benefit of the listeners, I'll give you the Cold Notes version of the prophecy. 900 years ago, a man by the name of Malachi
Excuse me. No. We don't tie in what happened 900 years ago to the Bible in any way. When we're talking about the Bible, any instruction, any conclusions, any development of truth has to come from the Bible. When you mention a man like Brown or somebody like that, you're completely away from what the Bible is talking about, and that does not help us in any way. In fact, it is a good way to get ourselves into serious trouble with the teaching of the Bible. I'm sorry. We really have to stay only with the Bible and not tie in anything of that nature. But now shall we take our next call? Please welcome to Open Forum. Welcome to Open Forum.
Good evening, Brother Camping.
Yes, go ahead with your call.
Could you look at Romans 11?
Romans 11, let's turn to that. Romans 11, and which verse?
Could you look at verse 11 and verse 25?
I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, that is the nations, for to provoke them to jealousy. And then in verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the nations come in. Now, what is your question?
Could you tell me what that means in relation to May 21st?
Well, the fact is that in Romans chapter 11, God is talking about the nation of Israel, that for 1480 years had been named by God to be the external representation of the kingdom of God. And then they were completely destroyed in 70 AD and never became a nation again for almost 2,000 years. And yet God predicted, both here in Revelation 11 as well as in Matthew and in Mark, that the nation of Israel would again become a nation. But here in Romans 11, it not only said that they would become a nation, but that they would still not want Christ as their Messiah. And both of those prophecies have absolutely come to pass. And that's what God is talking about here in Revelation 11, when he says when he said in verse 25, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, when will the fullness of the Gentiles come in? When the last person that God plans to save of all the nations finally becomes saved, and that will be the time when Judgment Day is ready to begin. We're just with a couple days now away from that moment. And until that time, it's still going to be true in national Israel, as it has been most of their existence. They do not want Christ as their Messiah. They've been a nation. They did become a nation again, as it was prophesied 63 years ago in 1948. And yet, as we look at Israel today, they still do not want Christ as their Messiah, except for a tiny trickle of individual believers. As a nation, they do not want, exactly as God has prophesied it here. And it is It is, again, telling us when God prophesies something, you can believe it. It is going to happen. But thank you.
You know what was causing me a problem there was the word until. It seemed to sort of imply that, you know, until the fullness of the nations came in, that no Jews would accept Jesus. It almost seemed to say that the first would be last. You know, they were the first to have the word of God, that they were going to be last. And the until word was just causing me a lot of problems.
Yeah, but the fact is that it isn't teaching for a moment that they are going to start becoming saved after the last one in the world becomes saved. Of all the other nations, the Bible doesn't teach that at all, not at all. In fact, right now, we're a couple days away from the very end, and we're ready for Judgment Day to begin, and the rapture, that is the catching up, the finishing of all the salvation of those who are to become saved. And yet you go to Israel today and start passing out Does God Love You tracts, and I'll guarantee to you, you're going to, in no time flat, you're going to be in trouble with the law over there, and try to put up a billboard there and find out how difficult it is. Right up to the present day, they absolutely, as a nation, do not want Christ as their Messiah. And anybody who's trying to work around this and say, oh yes, but they still have a future. There's not one word in the Bible that is, oh yes, they still have a spiritual future in Christ. There's not one word in the Bible that says that is so. And we're right here living. We see it all developing exactly the way God had said it would. And we're just 2 days away from the end of God's whole salvation plan. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum. Yes, go ahead with your call. Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, Mr. Camping, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead with your question. Please.
Mr. Camping, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Go ahead.
I have a question about the true prophet of God. The true prophet of I have a speech impediment. Family Radio Incorporated. Where does it say in the Bible that the true prophet of God must be incorporated?
Well, now, wait a minute. Family Radio is
not... Wait a minute.
Excuse me. Family Radio is not a profit. We are a business organization with the intent of helping people to spend their money as wisely as possible, to get as much mileage from it as possible in answering to their desire to share the gospel with the world. And any true believer who has that desire and is busy trying to do that is a true prophet of God. Family Radio is a business organization. We do not have the spiritual oversight of anybody. We don't rule over anybody. We don't have a membership. We are simply available, trying to be a teacher to direct people into the Bible. Family Radio is not the authority. No way. I'm not the authority. The Bible is the authority. But it isn't Family Radio that's the prophet. It is individuals who are faithfully declaring the Word of God. And we do have people in Family Radio that do try to be as faithful as possible in declaring the Word of God. But we have no one in Family Radio has any spiritual authority over anybody or is a ruling over anybody spiritually in any way. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, Harold, how are you tonight?
Very well, thank you. Go ahead. What is your question?
Yes, I have a question concerning Joshua and also in 2 Kings. In Joshua chapter 10, and verse 13.
Let's look at that.
The scripture I'd like you to read, please.
Joshua 2, verse, chapter 2, what verse in Joshua?
Joshua chapter 10.
Joshua chapter 10.
Verse 13.
Joshua chapter 10, verse 13. And there we read, and the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now, what is your question?
And also in 2 Kings.
There we read in 2 Kings about Hezekiah. And
yes, chapter 20, verse 10 through 15.
There we read in verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 10, and God told him that as a sign that he would again have 15 more years of life, he says, "This sign shalt thou have of Jehovah, that Jehovah will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "Is it a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees? Say, nay. But let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And that is what happened. Now, what is your question?
My question is, I'm wondering whether or not the combination of these two times, which would represent approximately 24 hours, was taken into consideration when you dated this.
No, it doesn't register in any sense with all the timeline of history that we have worked out, because we don't know the number of days from, let's say, from anything in the Old Testament until finally we get to the birth of Christ, or we get to the time when Christ hung on the cross. Earlier on, there's a very important daytime in the days of Ezra, but anything before that, it doesn't hinge on a day at all. We're just dealing with years. And so these particular items that did occur and might have changed the calendar by half a day or a day, it doesn't enter in at all, not at all, in any way, into the development of the timeline of history. But thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Will you personally be broadcasting live on Saturday?
On Saturday, you're going to have to ask the CEO of Family Radio. I'm not the CEO. God is the CEO. From everything God has told us, on Saturday, that's going to be a day when the gospel era comes to an end. And so you're going to have to talk to God and try to find out.
No, I mean that. I was just curious if you're going to be broadcasting.
I personally am not going to be broadcasting at all, no. All right, but,
okay, thank you.
Shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to ask you a question, and then I would like to follow it up. I want to get some understanding on it. My question to you is this. On Monday, May 21st, will we enter into God's rest, I mean the raptured people, or are we in God's rest already?
We're in God's rest the moment we become saved. If we, at that time, we receive our eternal soul, in which we will never sin again. That's the first grand part of salvation that we experience. All the payment was made before the foundation of the world, but until it's applied to us, we don't know at all or give any evidence of salvation. Now, that leaves another very important part that still has to take place, namely our bodies have to be changed so that they are eternally pleasing to God. That is, we have to have a brand new external, a glorified spiritual body. And that happens to every human being, except for a tiny handful that the Bible specifically records about. But except for just that tiny handful, all of the people who have ever become saved will simultaneously receive their completion of salvation, namely their glorified spiritual body, as in our bodies we are caught up to be with Christ.
So you're saying that right now some of us who are already saved are already entered into God's rest?
Oh, absolutely. When we become saved, we have entered into God's rest, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling and sharing. And shall we take our next call, please? Welcome to Open Forum.
Hello, am I on?
Yes, welcome to Open Forum.
Yes, I'd like to ask you about Matthew 7, 21 through 23.
Matthew 7, chapter 21 to 23. There we read Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21, there we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, what is your question?
How can you say that there is no consciousness for the unbeliever after death in light of this scripture?
Well, the fact is, this is not talking about those who had died and they're sometime before judgment day begins. It's talking about the almost 7 billion people that enter alive into judgment day, and of that 7 billion, about a third of them are from the churches where they are convinced that they are confessing members of the Lord of Christ, and they're going to find out that they never had become saved. And there are other passages in Matthew that emphasize, and so they'll be weeping and gnashing of their teeth and protesting, you know, we have done this in thy name, in thy name. And God will say, I never knew you, because they were trusting in their own salvation program, not carefully in God's salvation program. I have to break.
Each weekday at this time, we bring you Open Forum, a telephone talk program airing questions on biblical issues. This feature of Family Stations Incorporated will continue in just a moment.